Finch's Raven, Book 1 of the Last Axiom Series, by Derek Devon. Some believe the universe speaks only in mathematics. But what if we've been listening to only half the conversation? Professor Alistair Finch, Cambridge Lecture Series, 2023. Cambridge University's ancient physics building stood silhouetted against the storm-darkened sky. Raindrops shattering against its Victorian windows, like quantum particles collapsing into singular realities. Inside his office, illuminated only by the blue glow of his monitor and a single desk lamp, Professor Alistair Finch studied anomalies that shouldn't exist. At 73, Finch's once imposing frame had yielded to time, his spine curved into a permanent question mark. Fitting for a man who had spent his life interrogating the universe's deepest mysteries. His wire-rimmed glasses reflected scrolling data, results from a CERN particle collision experiment that had produced an impossible quantum resonance pattern. "You shouldn't be there," he whispered, tapping a gnawed pencil against his lower lip. "You're mathematically forbidden." Finch had spent 30 years developing Unified Field Theory 2.0, the grand unified theory that had finally reconciled quantum mechanics with general relativity. 2 years ago, the theory had crystallized into a framework of such mathematical elegance that the entire scientific community had embraced it. UFT 2.0 explained observed phenomena with unprecedented accuracy. It made predictions that experiments then confirmed. It was being hailed as the final chapter in humanity's understanding of physical laws. And yet, here on his screen was something UFT 2.0 explicitly forbade. A quantum resonance pattern crossing the Chandrasekhar limit in ways that violated the theory's most fundamental predictions. The grandfather clock in the corner, a relic from his office's previous occupant, ticked away seconds that suddenly felt strangely elastic. Finch had checked for experimental errors. He'd reviewed the CERN team's methodology. He'd run his own simulations, inputting the initial conditions into supercomputers and watching the results diverge from theoretical predictions in that one specific way. There was only one conclusion, however improbable. UFT 2.0 was incomplete, or worse, it was complete. But reality itself was changing. The thought sent a cold shiver through his thin frame. For a moment, Finch thought he saw the equations on his screen shift, reformulating themselves as he watched, the universe's source code in the process of being rewritten. He blinked, and the illusion vanished. "Pull yourself together, old man," he muttered, reaching for his empty coffee mug. "Next, you'll be claiming the universe has an editor." But the data remained, stubbornly refusing to conform to the elegant equations that had become his life's legacy. And if there was one thing Alistair Finch had never done, it was ignore inconvenient data. He glanced at the small wooden box sitting on the corner of his desk, carved with constellation patterns and prime number sequences. Inside was where he kept his most private research, the speculations too wild, too philosophically dangerous to share with the rigidly orthodox physics community. His hand hovered over the box, hesitating. Opening it meant acknowledging that he was taking this anomaly seriously, that he was willing to venture into intellectual territory that might tarnish his hard-won scientific reputation. A particularly violent gust of wind rattled the windows, as if nature itself were urging him to a decision. Finch drew a deep breath and opened the box. Inside lay a small leather-bound notebook filled with his cramped handwriting and a silver Zippo lighter engraved with the silhouette of a raven in flight. He'd purchased the lighter decades ago during a conference in Prague. Why a raven? Something about Poe, something about messengers between worlds in Norse mythology, but mostly because it had caught his eye in a small shop window as he'd wandered the old city, mulling over a particularly vexing quantum problem. Over the years, the raven had become his personal sigil, a private joke, the bird associated with ill omens becoming the symbol for his most unorthodox theoretical work. He kept very few personal effects in his Spartan office, but the lighter was always there, a small token of the intellectual freedom he rarely allowed himself in public. Finch picked up the notebook and flipped to a blank page. At the top, he wrote the date and a simple heading. CERN Anomaly. Implications for UFT 2.0. Then he began to write, the mechanical scratching of his fountain pen joining the clock's ticking and the rain's percussion in a strange, impromptu symphony. 3 hours later, the notebook page was filled with equations, crossed out speculations, and one phrase circled heavily at the bottom. Dynamic universal constants. The very idea was heretical. Constants were called constants because they didn't change. The speed of light, the gravitational constant, Planck's constant. They were the fixed scaffolding upon which physics built its understanding of reality. But if this anomalous resonance pattern was real, and every test suggested it was, then something fundamental was shifting. Not quickly, not dramatically, but measurably. And that meant either humanity's understanding of the universe was fundamentally flawed, or the universe itself was... Finch couldn't bring himself to complete the thought. Instead, he reached for the Zippo lighter, flicking it open and closed. The familiar click-snap had always helped him think, the small flame a reminder of humanity's first and most transformative technology. Controlled fire. Click, snap. Click, snap. The sound was oddly comforting in the rain-soaked silence. For a moment, Finch thought he saw something in the flame. Geometric patterns that weren't random flickers, but organized information, as if the fire itself were trying to communicate. The patterns reminded him of the strange dreams he'd been having recently, where quantum fields appeared visible to the naked eye, and time flowed in multiple directions simultaneously. The patterns in the flame momentarily resolved into what looked like a message. Mathematical symbols interwoven with structures resembling crystalline lattices. Was his tired mind manufacturing patterns from randomness, or was something genuinely trying to communicate? Last week, after a particularly vivid dream about multidimensional spaces, he'd awoken with a fully formed equation in his mind. An elegant solution to a quantum resonance problem he'd been struggling with for months. He'd written it down immediately, and it had proven mathematically sound when tested against experimental data. But where had it come from? His subconscious mind, or somewhere else entirely? That same equation now glimmered in the lighter's flame, impossible, yet undeniable. If constants can change, he whispered to the empty room, then who or what is changing them? The flame sputtered, as if in response to his question, and for a split second, Finch could have sworn he saw a face within it. Not human, but not entirely alien either. A presence that observed with intelligent curiosity. Then the flame returned to normal, leaving Finch wondering if his illness was affecting his perception more than he'd admitted to his doctors. A sudden loud knock at his door made him jump, the lighter clattering onto the desk. He quickly closed the notebook and slid it back into the wooden box before calling, "Come in." The door opened to reveal a young man with rumpled dark hair and intelligent eyes that suggested he slept even less than Finch himself. Dr. Derek Devon, Finch's most promising doctoral student, now a newly minted postdoc. Devon's fingers were stained with ink from the fountain pen he used for his own notes, a habit he'd unconsciously adopted from his mentor. "Professor?" Devon's voice carried a hint of concern. "The custodian called me," said your light's been on all night for the third night running. Finch glanced at the antique clock. Nearly 3 in the morning. Ah, Jenkins, always the worrier. Come in, come in. Devon stepped inside, dripping rainwater onto the worn carpet. His jacket was soaked, his shoes leaving wet prints with each step. Sorry about the mess, he said, running a hand through his damp hair. Umbrella turned inside out halfway across campus. Sit down before you catch your death, Finch gestured to the chair opposite his desk. Though I suppose I'm one to talk about unhealthy work habits. Devon peeled off his wet jacket and draped it over a radiator before settling into the chair. Working on something interesting? Finch studied his former student. Derek Devon had appeared in his introductory physics course 8 years ago. An undergraduate with uncommonly penetrating questions and a refreshing lack of deference to established theory. Finch had tracked his progress, eventually inviting him to join his research team. Together, they had refined critical components of UFT 2.0, with Devon showing a particular talent for the mathematical heavy lifting that Finch's aging mind sometimes struggled with. More importantly, Devon had demonstrated something rare in modern physics, philosophical flexibility. He wasn't afraid to ask what-if questions that his peers dismissed as unproductive speculation. How's the observational proposal for the ELTA coming along? Finch asked, deliberately avoiding Devon's question. Submitted yesterday, Devon replied, an eyebrow raising slightly at the obvious deflection. 3 years of observation time for QSOJ 0439 plus 1634. If approved, we'll have the most comprehensive data ever collected from a distant quasar. Good, good. That's very good. Finch nodded, distracted. For a moment, he thought he saw a shimmer in the air behind Devon, a momentary glimpse of what seemed like another person standing there. A blonde woman in a lab coat, watching them with scientific interest. The apparition vanished as quickly as it had appeared, leaving Finch wondering if his tired mind was playing tricks on him. And I've been corresponding with Dr. Hammond at Caltech about their quantum entanglement research, Devon continued. She's found some interesting anomalies in their long-range coherence experiments. Nothing conclusive, but she mentioned you'd reached out to her about similar findings. Finch felt a small surge of surprise. He hadn't mentioned his communications with Nancy Hammond to Devon or anyone else. The Caltech physicist had been documenting her own set of quantum irregularities, phenomena that likewise shouldn't exist according to UFT 2.0. That Devon had independently connected with her suggested he was already tracking the same patterns Finch had been documenting. A moment of silence stretched between them, punctuated by the ticking clock and the drumming rain. Devon had known Finch long enough to recognize when the old professor was wrestling with something significant. Sir, he ventured, you didn't answer my question. What's kept you here until 3 in the morning, 3 nights running? Finch's eyes, magnified behind his glasses, fixed on Devon with sudden intensity. Tell me, what would you say if I told you that the universe might not be stable? Devon's brow furrowed. Unstable how? We know the universe is expanding, possibly heading toward heat death, but that's billions of years. No, no, Finch waved impatiently. Not cosmologically unstable. Fundamentally unstable. I mean, the laws themselves. Devon leaned forward, intrigued despite his confusion. This was classic Finch, dropping intellectual bombshells during casual conversation. It was why his students simultaneously revered and feared him. The laws of physics changing, Devon clarified. That's... Well... It contradicts everything we understand about universal constants. Yes, It does rather fly in the face of convention, doesn't it? Finch agreed, a ghost of a smile playing on his lips. But consider this. What if the universe operates more like a computer program than a clockwork mechanism? Programs can be updated. He swiveled his monitor toward Devon, revealing the complex graph he'd been studying. Look at this resonance pattern from the CERN data. According to UFT 2.0, this particular quantum state configuration should be impossible. The math forbids it. Devon studied the screen, his expression gradually shifting from skepticism to confusion to the beginnings of scientific alarm. This oscillation, it's crossing the Chandrasekhar limit. That can't be right. I've verified it a dozen different ways, Finch said quietly. It's real. But that would mean either UFT 2.0 is wrong, or the universe is changing in ways our theory didn't account for, Finch finished, like a software update being applied to reality itself. Devon sat back, the implications washing over him. If that were true, what would be causing these changes? Who's the programmer? Finch's eyes gleamed with a mixture of excitement and fear. That, my boy, is the question that's kept me awake for the past 3 nights. He reached for the wooden box again, but hesitated. Was he really going to share this? His most private research? His most heretical thoughts? He'd spent decades building his reputation, carefully confining his wildest speculations to this box, presenting only rigorously provable work to his peers. But if he was right about what the CERN data suggested, none of that mattered anymore. And if he was right about his health, about what the doctors had told him last month, then time was running out to pass this torch. Derek, he said, his voice suddenly serious, what I'm about to show you doesn't leave this room. Not yet. Do I have your word? Devon straightened, recognizing the gravity in his mentor's tone. Of course, Professor. Finch opened the box and removed the leather notebook. For the past 15 years, I've been developing a theoretical framework for detecting systemic changes in fundamental constants. A set of mathematical tools designed to reveal subtle shifts in the universe's underlying structure. He slid the notebook across the desk. I call it the Finch Protocol. Devon accepted the notebook carefully, as if it might contain explosive material rather than equations. In a way, Finch thought, it did. The first half details my early attempts, Finch explained as Devon began to flip through the pages. Rather crude approaches, mathematically speaking. But about 7 years ago, I had a breakthrough of sorts. He reached across and turned to a specific page marked with a small sketch of a raven. This non-linear logarithmic transform. Devon's eyes widened as he studied the dense mathematical notation. I've never seen anything like this. It's almost like you're treating space-time as a waveform carrier. Precisely, Finch nodded, pleased. This was why he'd chosen Devon. The young man could see patterns where others saw only chaos. If fundamental constants are shifting, those shifts would propagate through reality like waves through water, affecting different systems at different scales, but all harmonically related. This transform would reveal those harmonic relationships, Devon murmured, already tracing the implications with his finger. You could correlate seemingly unrelated anomalies across different physical systems. In theory, Finch qualified, I haven't had enough data points to properly test it. Until now, perhaps. Devon looked up from the notebook. The CERN anomaly. It's not the only one, is it? Finch shook his head slowly. 3 months ago, an observatory in Hawaii recorded an unexpected fluctuation in the redshift of a particular galaxy cluster. Last year, A quantum optics lab in Tokyo reported that their entanglement experiments were showing declining coherence times that couldn't be explained by environmental factors. Dr. Hammond at Caltech has been documenting similar disturbances in her quantum communication projects. He paused, watching Devon process this information. Small anomalies, the kind most researchers would attribute to equipment error or methodological flaws. But you think they're connected, manifestations of the same underlying changes. I don't know, Finch admitted. That's what the protocol is designed to determine, but it's incomplete. There's a missing component, what I call the modulation key, that would allow the transform to properly calibrate across vastly different energy scales and time frames. Thunder rumbled outside, as if underscoring the gravity of the conversation. The storm was directly overhead now. Devon carefully set the notebook down. Professor, forgive me for asking, but why are you showing me this now? Why not publish? If there's even a chance you're right, this would be revolutionary. Finch's smile turned sad. Ah, there's the question, isn't it? He looked down at his hands, once steady enough for delicate experimental work, now thin and slightly trembling. Two reasons. First, without the complete protocol, without sufficient evidence, publishing would be professional suicide. We'd be dismissed as crackpots. No one would take the warning seriously. Warning? Devon picked up on the word immediately. You think these changes are dangerous? I think anything unknown is potentially dangerous, Finch replied carefully, especially when it involves the foundational principles upon which our entire technological civilization is built. He paused again, weighing his next words. And the second reason I'm showing you this now is because I'm not well, Derek. Devon's expression shifted from intellectual curiosity to personal concern. What do you mean? Are you ill? Pancreatic cancer, Finch said, speaking the words clinically, as if discussing an abstract concept rather than his own mortality. Stage 4. The doctors give me 6 months. Maybe less. Professor, Devon seemed at a loss for words, an unusual state for the normally articulate young physicist. I had no idea. I've kept it private, Finch said. No point in becoming a walking tragedy for the department to whisper about. I'd rather spend my remaining time working than being pitied. He reached into the wooden box once more and removed a small external hard drive and the silver Zippo lighter. This drive contains digital copies of all my work on the protocol, including simulations and data analysis tools. And this, he held up the lighter, is a gift. I've always found that having something to occupy one's hands helps the mind focus when confronting the impossible. Devon accepted both items, his expression still processing the multiple intellectual and emotional bombshells Finch had dropped in the past few minutes. The Raven engraving. I've seen you using this lighter for years. I always wondered about it. Ravens are messengers between worlds in many mythologies, Finch explained. They're harbingers of change, but also symbols of intelligence and adaptability. The Norse god Odin had two ravens named Thought and Memory that would fly around the world and report back to him. His thin lips curved in a small smile. They seemed fitting companions for a physicist trying to understand reality's deepest secrets. He leaned forward, suddenly earnest. The Raven is also a signature, Derek. My signature. Anything you find with that symbol came from me and relates to this work. Devon tested the lighter, flicking it open with a metallic click snap. The flame danced briefly before he closed it. The familiar gesture seemed to center him, bringing his focus back from the emotional shock of Finch's medical revelation to the intellectual implications of his theoretical one. The quasar observation project, Devon said slowly, the connections forming in his mind. You pushed me to focus on QSOJ 0439 plus 1634, specifically. That wasn't just for conventional research, was it? Finch's eyes gleamed with approval. The light from that quasar has traveled for nearly 12 billion years to reach us. If the universe's fundamental constants have shifted over time, the evidence would be encoded in that ancient light. Comparing its spectral signature to what UFT 2.0 predicts should be there. Could reveal discrepancies that the protocol could analyze, Devon finished. But the ELTA observation time hasn't even begun yet. It could be months before we get approval, and years of data collection after that. I know, Finch nodded. I won't live to see those results. That's why I'm entrusting this to you now. He closed the wooden box carefully. The Finch protocol is just a beginning. It needs refinement, validation. The observational data you'll collect may prove crucial. As Finch spoke, Devon thought he saw a faint shimmer in the air, similar to heat distortion, but somehow more structured, more deliberate. For a split second, he thought he glimpsed a figure forming in the distortion, someone watching them with keen interest. Then it was gone, leaving only the rain-lashed windows and the dusty office. Earlier today, Finch continued, his voice dropping to a near whisper, I saw something in the campus library that I can't explain. While researching historical observations of that same quasar, I witnessed a book fall from a shelf, a volume on quantum consciousness theory I wasn't even looking for. When I picked it up, it fell open to a passage about the observer effect, the idea that the act of observation fundamentally changes what's being observed. Finch leaned forward, his eyes intense behind his glasses. Here's what troubled me. The passage described experimental findings nearly identical to what we're seeing in the CERN data. Findings that shouldn't exist yet, in a book published 3 years ago. That's not possible, Devon said slowly. No, it's not. And when I went back later to re-examine that passage, not only could I not find it, but that entire section of the book appeared different, as if it had been rewritten between my first and second reading. Devon felt a chill that had nothing to do with his damp clothes. You think the universal changes are affecting existing records? Rewriting history itself? I don't know, Finch admitted, but it suggests these modifications may be more extensive than simple shifts in physical constants. They may be altering our perception of reality itself, perhaps even our memories. The clock's ticking seemed suddenly louder in the quiet room, each second punctuated with portentous weight. You really believe this? Devon said, looking down at the notebook, hard drive, and lighter in his hands. It wasn't a question. I don't want to, Finch admitted, suddenly looking every one of his 73 years. The implications are staggering. If the foundational laws of reality can change, nothing is certain. But we need to know. Knowledge is preferable to ignorance, however discomforting. He fixed Devon with a penetrating stare. Can I trust you with this? Not just the research, but the perspective? Most of our colleagues would dismiss it as the ramblings of an old man facing mortality. Perhaps they'd be right. But if there's even a chance. Devon closed his hand around the lighter, feeling its weight, both physical and metaphorical. Part of him wanted to politely decline, to chalk this up as the eccentric farewell of a brilliant but aging mind. But another part, the part that had drawn him to physics in the first place, the hunger to understand reality's deepest mysteries, knew he couldn't walk away. I'll continue your work, he promised. though I hope you'll be around to guide me through much of it. I've always been an optimist about human potential, Finch smiled tiredly, but a realist about my own mortality. Still, we'll make the most of whatever time remains. He gestured to the notebook. The password for the encrypted files on the drive is Finch's Folly. All caps, no apostrophe. Devon raised an eyebrow. Folly? A bit of self-deprecating humor, Finch explained. Either I'm pursuing a revolutionary insight into the nature of reality, or I'm an old fool chasing shadows. Time will tell which. The grandfather clock chimed three times, startling them both. Outside, the storm seemed to be lessening, the spaces between thunderclaps growing longer. You should go home, get some rest, Finch said, making a shooing motion with his hands. We can talk more tomorrow. I'll be in the lab after my morning lecture. Devon nodded, carefully tucking the notebook and hard drive into his inner jacket pocket and slipping the lighter into his pants pocket. At the door, he paused. Professor, if you're right, if the laws of physics can be changed, what does that mean for us? For humanity? Finch removed his glasses, polishing them thoughtfully with a handkerchief. Think of it this way, Derek. Imagine primitive humans, huddled around their first controlled fire. This new phenomenon obeyed rules they didn't yet understand. Combustion, oxidation, the transfer of energy. Their ignorance didn't exempt them from the effects of those rules. He replaced his glasses, his eyes magnified behind the lenses. Now imagine if, while those humans were still grappling with their first flame, the basic properties of fire suddenly changed, without warning, without explanation. What once warmed might now freeze. What once illuminated might now create darkness. A chill ran through Devon that had nothing to do with his rain-soaked clothes. That's the precipice we may be standing on, Finch concluded quietly. Understanding the universe's source code just as it begins to be rewritten. Outside, thunder rumbled, a low, ominous counterpoint to Finch's words. Get some rest, my boy, the professor said, his tone deliberately lighter. Great revelations always seem less apocalyptic in the morning light. Devon nodded and left, the burden of Finch's intellectual legacy heavy in his pockets. As he walked through the rain-slicked quadrangle, he found himself looking up at the cloud-covered sky, wondering if the stars above, invisible tonight, but always present, were governed by the same laws he'd spent his life studying. Or if those laws were more fluid than anyone had dared imagine. Click-snap went the lighter in his palm, a nervous habit already forming. Click-snap. Devon's small apartment, just off campus, was a study in organized chaos. Books and journals formed precarious towers on every surface. His dining table had long ago surrendered to becoming a makeshift workstation. And the kitchen counters hosted an array of unwashed coffee mugs, the archaeological record of late-night research sessions. He tossed his wet jacket over a chair and went straight to his desk, ignoring the digital clock declaring it was nearly 4 a.m. Sleep seemed impossible now. How could anyone rest after learning that either the most celebrated physics theory in a generation was fundamentally flawed? Or reality itself was being reprogrammed? Devon placed Finch's notebook, hard drive, and lighter on his desk, arranging them as if they were artifacts from an archaeological dig, which, in a way, they were. Excavated remnants of his mentor's private intellectual life. His hand moved automatically to the laptop, but he hesitated. Part of him, the cautious, career-minded academic, whispered that he shouldn't dive into this now, that he should sleep, approach this fresh in the morning, with proper skepticism and methodological rigor. But another voice, louder and more insistent, reminded him that Professor Finch, the most brilliant physicist he'd ever known, believed this was important enough to share on what might be his deathbed. The lighter caught his eye, the raven engraving seeming to watch him with an obsidian gaze. Almost without thinking, he picked it up. Click, snap. The familiar sound was oddly steadying. "Okay," he said aloud to his empty apartment. "Let's see what you've got, Professor." He plugged in the external hard drive and entered the password Finch had given him. The drive contained dozens of folders with labels like Anomaly Database, Transform Evolution, Simulation Models, and Theoretical Framework. At the root level was a single document titled StartHere.pdf. Devon opened it immediately. It was a letter from Finch, apparently written some months ago. "My dear colleague, and if you're reading this, most likely Derek, if you're accessing this drive, I've either shared my unorthodox research with you willingly, or I'm no longer among the living, and you've discovered it among my effects. Either way, you now hold what may be the most important, or the most delusional, theoretical framework of my career." The Finch Protocol began as a thought experiment 15 years ago. I was rereading Dirac's papers on large number coincidences and found myself wondering, what if universal constants aren't actually constant? What if they drift over cosmic time, too slowly for us to have noticed in our brief history of precision measurement? It seemed a harmless intellectual exercise at first. Then I began to notice small anomalies in experimental data from various sources, quantum experiments, cosmological observations, even molecular clockwork processes in certain biological systems. Individually, these anomalies were easily dismissible as experimental error. Collectively, viewed through the right mathematical lens, they suggested a pattern. The protocol is my attempt to create that lens, a mathematical framework capable of detecting subtle, correlated changes across vastly different systems and scales. Think of it as a diagnostic tool for reality itself. I've organized this drive to guide you through my thinking process. Start with the Theoretical Framework folder, which explains the philosophical underpinnings and basic mathematical approach. Then explore the Anomaly Database, which catalogs the suspicious data points I've collected over the years. The Transforms Evolution folder documents my attempts to create a mathematical transformation capable of revealing the harmonic relationships between seemingly unrelated anomalies. The most recent version, what I call the nonlinear logarithmic transform, shows promise but lacks a crucial component I've termed the modulation key. Without this key, the transform cannot properly calibrate across different energy scales and time frames. I believe this key exists, perhaps as a specific mathematical constant or function. Finding it is the most urgent next step. Once completed, the protocol could be applied to any sufficiently precise dataset to detect whether fundamental constants are shifting in that domain. The implications of such shifts would be profound. Our entire technological civilization is built upon the assumption of stable physical laws. If these laws are changing, even subtly, the consequences could range from minor equipment failures to catastrophic breakdown of critical systems. More philosophically troubling is the question of agency. If universal constants are changing, is this a natural process we've simply failed to notice until now? Or is something, or someone, actively modifying the underlying code of reality? And if the latter, to what end? I entrust this research to you not to create alarm, but because knowledge, however disturbing, is preferable to ignorance. Observe, analyze, verify or disprove. And above all, keep an open mind. The universe may be stranger than we have imagined. or I may simply be an old man, afraid of fading into insignificance before the vast cosmic night. You will determine which. With highest regards, Alistair Finch. P.S. The raven has always been my private symbol for this work. If you find this symbol elsewhere among my papers or possessions, it indicates a connection to the protocol. Consider it a breadcrumb trail through the labyrinth of my more unorthodox thinking. Devon sat back, the letter's implications settling over him like a heavy blanket. This wasn't just some recent obsession triggered by Finch's illness, or an anomalous CERN result. This was a research program spanning 15 years, conducted in secret, parallel to Finch's more conventional celebrated work. Click snap. The lighter was in his hand again, its operation now almost unconscious. He turned to the anomaly database folder next, expecting perhaps a dozen entries. Instead, he found hundreds, meticulously categorized by date, location, instrumentation type, and deviation severity. Each entry included the raw data, Finch's analysis notes, and a correlation confidence rating. Most were from published papers, experiments where the researchers had dismissed certain results as statistical noise or equipment error. Finch had salvaged these discarded data points, preserving them like a collector of rare butterflies. Others came from Finch's own experiments, deliberately designed to test specific aspects of his hypothesis. These were dated primarily during university holidays, when the labs were empty, and he could work without explaining his unorthodox methodologies to colleagues. Devon clicked through entry after entry, his fatigue forgotten. Patterns began to emerge. The anomalies were subtle, deviations of mere fractions of a percent from theoretical predictions. But they were consistent in their inconsistency, like a faint signal struggling to be heard above the noise of normal experimental variance. One entry in particular caught his attention, a report from Caltech's Quantum Entanglement Facility, documenting the spontaneous reestablishment of coherence between particles whose entanglement should have irreversibly collapsed. The researcher, Dr. Nancy Hammond, had noted it as an unexplained aberration. But in Finch's private notes, he'd written, "Quantum Consciousness Implications. Contact Maureen Hamner at CERN Reobserver Effect Studies." Devon didn't recognize the name, Maureen Hamner, but made a mental note to look her up. If she was studying quantum consciousness effects, her work might provide insights into whether observation itself played a role in the anomalies they were documenting. At 6 a.m., the rising sun beginning to illuminate his cluttered apartment, Devon finally reached for the Transform Evolution folder. Here, Finch had documented his attempts to create a mathematical framework capable of revealing correlations across these disparate anomalies. The early attempts were crude, basic statistical tools applied to normalized datasets. But as Devon tracked the evolution of Finch's thinking through successive files, he watched a genuinely original mathematical approach take shape. The non-linear logarithmic transform, in its current form, was breathtaking in its elegance. It treated reality itself as a multidimensional waveform, with fundamental constants as its baseline frequencies. By applying this transform to anomalous data, one could theoretically detect subtle shifts in those baseline frequencies, shifts that would manifest differently in different systems but would be harmonically related. And yet, as Finch had warned, it was incomplete. The transform required a specific tuning function, the modulation key, to properly correlate across different scales. Without it, the mathematical lens remained unfocused, the patterns visible but blurred. Devon's eyes burned from staring at his screen, but his mind was racing faster than ever. He opened the simulation models folder next, finding a series of increasingly sophisticated computer models designed to test the protocol against synthetic data. the most recent simulations showed tantalizing results. When fed artificial datasets with deliberately embedded pattern shifts, the protocol could detect them with impressive accuracy, but only within certain parametric ranges. Outside those ranges, its sensitivity plummeted. As the morning light strengthened, Devon found himself staring at the final folder, Theoretical Framework. This contained the philosophical underpinnings of Finch's approach, essays on the nature of reality, and explorations of what it might mean if the universe were fundamentally editable. One document, titled CosmicEditors.pdf, particularly caught his attention. In it, Finch had speculated about the possible nature of whatever might be causing the universal constants to shift. If these modifications are deliberate rather than natural drift, Finch had written, then we must consider what kind of intelligence would possess both the capability and motivation to rewrite reality's most fundamental laws. Such an entity would necessarily exist beyond our current conception of consciousness. Perhaps a civilization so advanced that the manipulation of physical constants is to them what the manipulation of software code is to us. But what would be their purpose? Is our reality an experiment to them? A garden to be cultivated? Or are they perhaps preparing our universe for some transformation we cannot yet comprehend? The document continued with increasingly speculative theories, but what struck Devon was the rigorous logic underlying even Finch's wildest conjectures. Nowhere did the professor resort to mysticism or abandon scientific principles. He remained a scientist to the core, even when contemplating entities that might appear godlike from human perspective. A sudden chime from his phone made Devon startle. It was a calendar reminder. Professor Finch's morning lecture began in 1 hour. Devon realized he'd spent the entire night immersed in the protocol materials without noticing the passage of time. He closed his laptop, reluctantly accepting that he needed at least a brief shower and change of clothes before heading back to campus. But as he rose from his desk, the Raven lighter caught his eye once more. Devon picked it up, examining the engraving in the morning light. The bird's eye seemed to regard him with knowing intensity. Was he really about to throw himself into a theoretical framework that suggested reality itself was being rewritten? That the fundamental constants governing physics weren't constant at all? Click, snap. The lighter's familiar sound was both question and answer. The implications of Finch's work, if validated, would eclipse every scientific revolution in human history. Newton's laws, Einstein's relativity, quantum mechanics, all had changed how humanity understood the universe. But none had suggested that the universe itself was subject to ongoing revision. The last axiom, Devon murmured, remembering a phrase Finch had used in one of his essays. The final assumption upon which science rested, that reality's rules, once discovered, remained fixed. But what if even that wasn't true? He slipped the lighter into his pocket, feeling its weight as both burden and privilege. Whatever happened next, whether Finch's protocol proved revolutionary or delusional, Devon knew his life had irrevocably changed during this rain-soaked night. After a quick shower and change of clothes, Devon made his way back to campus. The storm had passed, leaving behind a washed, clean world of gleaming surfaces and renewed clarity. Students and faculty hurried across the quad, their ordinary academic concerns a stark contrast to the cosmic questions now occupying Devon's thoughts. He arrived at the lecture hall just as Finch's undergraduate class on advanced theoretical physics was scheduled to begin. The large room was nearly full. Despite his eccentricities, or perhaps because of them, Finch remained one of the department's most popular lecturers. But as the minutes ticked past with no sign of the professor, a sense of unease began to spread through the room. Finch was legendary for his punctuality, often claiming that respect for time was the physicist's most basic obligation. At 15 minutes past the hour, the department secretary entered instead, her face grave. She spoke briefly to the teaching assistant at the front of the room, who looked shocked, then nodded and turned to address the students. "I'm very sorry to inform you that Professor Finch experienced a medical emergency this morning and has been taken to Addenbrooke's hospital. Class is canceled for today. Updates will be posted on the department website." A murmur ran through the crowd. Concern, speculation, the inevitable darkly humorous comments that young people use to distance themselves from mortality. Devon, however, felt a cold weight settle in his stomach. He approached the teaching assistant as students began filing out. "Richard, what happened? Do you know anything more?" Richard Taylor, a doctoral candidate who had worked with Finch for almost as long as Devon, shook his head. "Collapsed in his office, apparently. The morning custodial staff found him. They're saying heart attack or stroke, but..." He lowered his voice. "Angela mentioned rumors of cancer. Do you know anything about that?" Devon hesitated, Finch's desire for privacy warring with the immediate circumstances. "He's been ill," he admitted finally, "but I don't know the details of this morning's incident. I'm heading to the hospital now." "I'll come with you," Richard offered, but Devon shook his head. "Let me check on the situation first. I'll send word if it's appropriate for visitors." Devon walked quickly across campus toward the bus stop that would take him to Addenbrooke's hospital. As he waited, he found himself taking out Finch's lighter, turning it over in his hands. Click, snap. The sound was a small comfort amid growing concern. The hospital, when he arrived, was the usual controlled chaos of any major medical facility. At the main reception desk, Devon inquired about Professor Finch's condition. "Are you family?" the receptionist asked, eyeing him dubiously. "No, but I'm his research associate. He has no immediate family in the area." The woman's expression softened slightly. "He's in the intensive care unit, fourth floor, east wing. They can give you more information there." The elevator ride to the fourth floor seemed interminable. Devon's mind raced through possibilities. Perhaps Finch's condition had taken a sudden turn. The 6 months the doctors had predicted shortening to mere weeks or days. Or maybe it was unrelated to the cancer, a heart attack brought on by stress and late nights. In either case, the urgency of the protocol research suddenly seemed amplified. If Finch were to die before Devon fully understood the framework, critical insights might be lost forever. The ICU waiting area held three other members of Finch's research team, their expressions a mixture of concern and solemn anticipation. Dr. Sophia Chen, a theoretical physicist specializing in quantum field theory, Martin Weber, another doctoral student, and Dr. James Okafor, a visiting researcher from CERN. "Any news?" Devon asked, slightly breathless from his hurried journey. Sophia shook her head, her usually composed face drawn with worry. "He's with the doctors. They're saying it was a major cardiac event, possibly triggered by the cancer's progression." "Cancer?" Martin looked confused. "What cancer?" Devon and Sophia exchanged glances. "You didn't know?" Devon asked carefully. "Professor Finch has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He was diagnosed about a month ago." "He told you?" James asked, surprised. "He swore me to secrecy when I found out. Said he didn't want it affecting the team's work." "He told me last night," Devon admitted. "I had no idea before that." A heavy silence fell over the group. Finch had always been private about his personal life, almost to the point of reclusiveness. That he had shared his diagnosis with Devon felt suddenly significant, another indicator of the trust implied in passing on the protocol research. A doctor emerged from the ICU doors, her expression professionally neutral as she approached their small cluster. Are you Professor Finch's family? She asked. Colleagues, Sophia explained. His wife passed away years ago, and they had no children. We're the closest thing to family he has here. The doctor nodded, accepting this. Professor Finch has suffered a serious heart attack, complicated by his advanced cancer. We've stabilized him for now, but his condition is critical. The cancer has metastasized more extensively than his previous scans indicated. Can we see him? Devon asked. Briefly. He's conscious, but very weak. One at a time, please, and only for a few minutes each. They decided that Devon should go first, given that he'd been Finch's primary collaborator on UFT 2.0. As he followed the doctor through the ICU doors, Devon felt the weight of the Raven-engraved lighter in his pocket, a small but tangible connection to the research Finch had entrusted to him alone. Finch lay in a hospital bed surrounded by monitoring equipment, a frail figure against the white sheets. The vital signs displayed on nearby screens showed weak but stable patterns. His eyes were closed when Devon entered, but they fluttered open at the sound of footsteps. Derek! Finch's voice was barely above a whisper. Good of you to come. Of course. Devon pulled a chair close to the bedside. The whole team is here. A ghost of a smile crossed Finch's pale lips. Loyal to the end. Did you look at the materials I gave you? Devon nodded. I was up all night going through them. It's extraordinary work. Professor and I have only scratched the surface of all that data. I am sure it will take me months, or maybe a year, to go through it all. Whether or not the hypothesis proves correct, the mathematical framework alone is groundbreaking. The modulation key, Finch said, each word clearly requiring effort. That's the missing piece. I've tried every approach I could think of. I'll find it, Devon promised. Once you're recovered, we can work on it together. Finch's eyes, though clouded with pain, sharpened momentarily. We both know that's unlikely, my boy. The prognosis they've just given me is weeks, not months. He reached out with a trembling hand, and Devon took it, surprised by how light and cool it felt. The protocol must continue. The quasar observations will be crucial. Remember the Raven. I will, Devon assured him. But try to rest now. Save your strength. Finch seemed about to say more when his eyes suddenly widened, focusing on something beyond Devon. Do you see that? He whispered. Devon turned to look, but saw only the hospital room, the monitors, the IV stand, the window showing a gray Cambridge morning. See what, Professor? The equations. Finch murmured, his gaze still fixed on the empty air. They're changing. Right before our eyes. His hand tightened on Devon's with surprising strength. It's not a metaphor, Derek. Not a philosophical position. Reality is being rewritten. And we've noticed? His voice dropped even lower. I wonder if that's allowed. Before Devon could respond, the cardiac monitor began to beep rapidly. Finch's eyes closed, his hand going limp in Devon's grip. Medical staff rushed in, pushing Devon aside as they worked to stabilize their patient. In the chaos, Devon found himself backed against the wall, watching helplessly as the medical team fought to save his mentor's life. His hand unconsciously sought the lighter in his pocket. Click, snap. Click, snap. The sound was lost amid the urgent shouting of the doctors and the alarm of the medical equipment. 10 minutes later, he rejoined the research team in the waiting area, his face telling them everything they needed to know before he spoke. He's gone, Devon said simply. They did everything they could. The next hours passed in a blur of administrative procedures, condolence calls to distant relatives, and the peculiar, hollow conversations that follow in death's immediate wake. By mid-afternoon, The formalities had been addressed, and the research team gathered at a nearby pub. The Eagle, where Crick and Watson had once announced the discovery of DNA's structure, to commemorate their mentor in a more personal way. They shared stories of Finch's brilliance, his eccentric teaching methods, his occasionally biting wit, and his unwavering commitment to intellectual rigor. As pints were consumed and memories flowed, Devon remained somewhat apart, his mind divided between the communal remembrance and the private knowledge Finch had entrusted to him alone. He changed the field forever with UFT 2.0, James was saying, raising his glass. The completion of a quest generations of physicists had pursued. Completion, Devon echoed, the word catching in his mind. The others looked at him curiously. Sorry, just thinking about something he said to me recently. He was always pushing us to question even our most successful theories, wasn't he? To look for the anomalies, the exceptions. Classic Finch, Sophia nodded. He used to say, "The universe loves to hide," quoting Heraclitus. He thought the most important discoveries came from investigating what doesn't fit the model, not from celebrating what does. The conversation continued, but Devon's thoughts had turned inward. In his backpack, carefully packed between his laptop and a physics journal, were the notebooks, the hard drive, and the Raven-engraved lighter, the physical embodiments of Finch's most heretical thinking. Was it possible? Could the fundamental constants of the universe, the gravitational constant, the speed of light, Planck's constant, all the bedrock values upon which modern physics was built, be changing? And if so, what did that mean for humanity's understanding of reality? More troubling still, what had Finch meant by his final words? "We've noticed. I wonder if that's allowed?" As if the universe, or whatever might be editing it, could be aware of being observed, and might respond to that observation. As the memorial gathering began to disperse, researchers heading home to families or back to labs, Devon remained, nursing a final drink and turning the lighter over and over in his hand. Click, snap, click, snap. The sound had already become a comfort, a connection to Finch and to the intellectual quest he'd inherited. "Was that Professor Finch's?" Sophia asked, noticing the lighter as she prepared to leave. "I remember him always having it in seminars." "Yes," Devon confirmed, showing her the Raven engraving. "He gave it to me last night, along with some research notes he wanted me to review." Sophia studied the Raven with mild curiosity. "Interesting choice. Ravens are intelligent birds, problem solvers. They also feature in many mythologies as messengers between worlds." She smiled sadly. Fitting for a physicist who spent his life trying to decode the universe's messages. Devon nodded, struck by how her casual observation echoed Finch's own explanation. "That's exactly what he said." After Sophia left, Devon sat alone, contemplating his next steps. The LT observation proposal had been submitted, but approval could take months. In the meantime, he needed to delve deeper into the Finch protocol, perhaps find the elusive modulation key that had eluded his mentor. Outside, the afternoon was drawing to a close, streetlights flickering on across Cambridge. Devon looked up at them, suddenly wondering if Finch was right. If universal constants were indeed shifting, would light itself begin to behave differently? Would electricity flow according to subtly modified rules? Would the technologies humanity had built, assuming stable physical laws, begin to fail in mysterious ways? He paid his bill and stepped into the twilight, the weight of Finch's intellectual legacy a tangible presence in his backpack. Above, the first stars were becoming visible, their ancient light traveling across vast cosmic distances According to laws humanity believed were immutable. But what if they weren't? What if the cosmic rulebook was being rewritten even as humans finally thought they'd decoded it completely? In his hand, the Raven lighter caught the last light of day, its metallic surface gleaming with promise and warning intertwined. Devon flicked it open once more, watching its small flame dance in the evening breeze before closing it with a definitive snap. The Raven had delivered its message. Now it was up to him to understand it. And perhaps, if Finch's most radical suppositions proved correct, to help humanity navigate a reality more fluid than anyone had dared imagine. He began the walk back to his apartment, his mind already racing with possibilities, approaches, experiments to design. 6 months ago, Professor Alistair Finch had submitted the completed UFT 2.0 theory to worldwide acclaim, seemingly answering the last major questions in theoretical physics. Now, Devon understood. The biggest question of all might still lie ahead. Not, how does the universe work? But what happens when the way the universe works begins to change? As Devon walked through the quiet Cambridge streets, his mind began to chase the implications of Finch's theory down increasingly unsettling paths. What if gravity itself was subject to change? The gravitational constant, that fundamental value determining how strongly masses attracted each other, was woven into everything from the orbit of planets to the flow of blood through human veins. If it weakened even slightly, satellites would drift from their carefully calculated orbits. The moon would gradually spiral away from Earth, and the delicate balance that kept the atmosphere from dispersing into space might falter. Buildings designed to withstand their own weight under current gravitational conditions could become unstable. The human body itself evolved over millions of years under a specific gravitational regime, might struggle to function if that invisible force suddenly operated by different rules. Even more disturbing was the thought of light's speed changing. The speed of light wasn't just a cosmic speed limit. It was the fundamental constant that bound space and time together in Einstein's elegant equations. If it shifted, the very fabric of space-time would ripple and reshape. GPS satellites, which relied on precisely timed light signals to determine location, would become unreliable. Nuclear power plants, dependent on carefully balanced fusion reactions governed by the relationship between mass and energy, could become unpredictable. More fundamentally, if light traveled differently, would human vision itself change? Would the electromagnetic spectrum shift, altering the colors of the world? Devon found himself looking up at the streetlights with new wariness, as if expecting them to flicker with some alien hue, signaling that the universe's most basic parameters were quietly rewriting themselves around him. As Cambridge's ancient spires faded into the gathering darkness behind him, Derek Devon made a silent promise to his departed mentor. He would find the answer. He would complete the Finch protocol. And whatever was happening to reality itself, he would be there to witness it, to record it, to understand it, even if he was the only one who knew to look. Click snap went the lighter in his pocket as he walked, the sound no longer nervous, but purposeful. Click snap. The Raven's flight had just begun. And somewhere beyond the veil of ordinary perception, ancient intelligences took note of a torch being passed. A young mind now primed to recognize the signs of cosmic modification. A new observer who might someday understand the greater purpose behind the universal rewrites already underway. The programmer had noticed them noticing, and the program was about to be updated again. End of Finch's Raven.